Good morning. I'd like to greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning as we have another opportunity to gather together as we think of worshiping our Creator and Maker. It is a privilege to be here as we think of you as a church going through a special weekend, looking in choosing a leader, one to work for the benefit of the church and for God's kingdom. I want to welcome each one this morning, trusting that we can worship together in peace and holiness this morning and this evening, that we could all feel the peace of God and that we can see how he works in his wondrous ways. For a call to worship this morning, Brother Terry asked me if I'd do this, and I normally in our circle we share a couple verses, and the verses came to me almost right after I had talked to him in Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, very familiar verses here. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I think you as a church group could say amen to these verses as you think of preparing to choose a leader. I'm sure there was a lot of prayer, a lot of self-examination. There was a lot of trusting in the Lord to have his will and his way. You know, so often we want to lean on our own understanding, and we like to try to figure things out before they happen. We try to predict, and it doesn't work that way. But we are to be those that trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And as we think of this, building up to this weekend, I'm sure you were, as a congregation, trusting in the Lord. But now as this weekend passes on and time goes on, what about that continued trust in the Lord daily? In verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." To Brent and Brittany and your family, this morning, your path, or you know, in the last couple days, your path may look different. Your path may look bigger, but trust in the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. He is in control, and for you as a congregation, encourage them. Be there for them, also trusting in the Lord. So may God bless each one as we worship together. For the order of the service, we'll look to Brother Brian Fox to share the devotional, and Brother Charles Raymer the message. So may we remember them in thought and prayer. At this time, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning's hour, thanking you for every morning that we can have mercies new. And we thank you this morning that we could gather together in the house of worship. Lord, we thank you so much for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, for what he did on the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb, that he has again risen. We thank you that we can come to the foot of the cross and that we can also be risen with new life through your son, Jesus. that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we just pray a special blessing upon these services this morning and this evening. We just pray a special blessing upon Brent and Brittany and their family. Lord, just show yourself to them, and Lord, we trust that they will find strength through you in these days to come. Lord, help us all to trust fully in you with all our hearts, knowing that you will direct our paths. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. As I thought of a song we could sing together in the Christian hymnal, number 465, as we think of trusting and obeying, trust and obey, and how they fit together. You know, not only if we want to trust fully in God, we also need to obey. So may God bless each one of us as we mingle our voices together.
453.
Hymn number 453. My faith looks up to thee.
Grace and gifts to
Good morning. Greeting in the name of our King Jesus. What a privilege to be in Michigan again. It's good to see you, Morris. Feels good to be here. And lots of familiar faces. And every time I come up here to Michigan, walking in here to Careth Church, it just feels good to know there's a group of soldiers here in Michigan standing up for Jesus. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's always going to be without challenge. But it does mean that there is hope, there is light, and it does mean that Jesus has poured out his blessing upon the people here, and they're standing up for Christ. And that's encouraging. And it's a special weekend for you all. I feel like God has moved, and you guys have been blessed. I'm looking forward to seeing tonight, hearing the service, and just rejoicing. I realize a lot of time with ordination and stuff like that, it seems like there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of feelings, emotions, and this morning we're not going to look at that. This morning we are going to look at one of the many millions and thousands of reasons that we should and should be and can be and are worshiping the God that we are. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 James 17. We're going to look at one verse this morning. James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And when we get together here this morning and we get together to worship a God who understands our needs, a God who makes no mistakes, a God who can see in the heart and in the mind of each person sitting here, and it says that every good gift and every perfect gift we have that comes from above comes from the Father of light. And if you look further down in that same verse, it says, "In whom is no variableness." And one of the reasons to worship the God that we're worshiping here this morning is the fact that there's no variableness. And I don't know if it's my age or if it's just the things around me in life, but it seems like there's so many things that change, and there's constantly change coming and going. And this morning, we're serving a God who has no variableness. It says that our God he's perfectly consistent. There's no change. And what a solid rock. What an eternal rock. We're serving a God that we don't have to wonder where he's going to be. We don't have to wonder what he's up to. We don't have to wonder if he cares or not. We don't have to wonder if he's going to forsake us. He is unchanging. And we're getting together here this morning to worship a God that does not change. And doesn't, for me, that gives me a zeal. And it's just another beautiful reason to serve and to worship the God we are. And like I said, it's just one of the many thousands of different reasons to worship the God that we worship. Is that there is no variableness in him. And when I think of change and variableness, there's just so many different things in this life. You can look at it in the business side, sometimes I do some purchasing for a metal company, and there's one color that's the in color, and then it's the next color, and it's always changing. Here's a given. I was talking to Delton some yesterday, and he was trying to decide when to buy fuel. And the fuel prices were going up and up and up, and you know, they're changing. There's nothing steady. There's no like, here's when you should. And that's the world we live in. This spring we were planting garden, and it was getting later in the evening, and it was time to eat. And me and the children went up to the house, and we were sitting at the table, and all of a sudden it looked like rain, and we quick ran down to the garden, and we didn't even get down there no 5 minutes, and there was a major downpour, and we had to quit our job. You know, it was sunshine and rain, which we need both, but there's all this change that keeps us guessing. I think about when we were traveling up here, and we got into Chicago, and for miles and hours before we got to Chicago, we could set the cruise and we would just buzz for hours. It was smooth sailing; traffic didn't change much. And we got close to the city, and all of a sudden, bam! It was like down to 0 miles an hour. And I would slam on the brakes, and Anna would gasp, and then pretty soon we'd be back up to the speed again, and it was just constantly in and out the whole way through Chicago. And that is the life we live in. We live in a life where the things around us are they're not steady, and it can be a distract. It can be in our, even us as humans, you know, in the one song we said, it said, pure, warm, and changeless be. If our love for Christ could be as changeless as Christ was, we would be a brighter light to the world. But we're naturally going on a road that's up and down. There's valleys. And as we travel this life with all these valleys and with the ups and downs, it just feels so good to know that we have something very solid, and that's Jesus Christ. He is always going to be there. No matter if you're in a traffic jam, or if you're in an up and down in your spiritual life, if you're going through something tough, if there's all this change around you that makes you feel insecure, just remember, you're serving a God who has no variableness. He has no shadow of turning. He's always going to be there. You're not going to have to decide, does this look closest to God, or is this God's will, or where is it? Where is it at? The God we're serving, he doesn't change. In Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're here this morning and your world is shaken up, remember, Jesus isn't. And he is the eternal rock, and he's always going to be there. And I thought about it for Brent. You know, yeah, there will be some change, but he doesn't have to go learn a different God or a different way. It's the same God that he's been serving all his life. It's the same God that you guys have been serving. The challenges are going to be there. The devil's going to be there, but God is always the same. There's nothing new under the sun. It's fighting. We're in a war. We're fighting against the devil, and God is always going to be there. And Jesus is always going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father, pleading and interceding for us. Isn't that a secure feeling this morning? Isn't that a steady rock? Surely we can worship and give our all to a God who doesn't change, a God who knows exactly what we need. We don't have to worry if our God's going to have a mood swing. We don't have to worry if our God's going to have a bad day at work. He's always going to be there. You know, it says that, he says that you're else cold or hot. You know, you are else cold or you're hot. If you're lukewarm, he has no part with you. That doesn't change. You're going to be cold, or you're going to be hot, or you're going to be in the middle, and that is not God. And that doesn't change. It's always going to be the same. There's no shadow or variableness of turning. It says that there's no shadow of turning. There's not going to be this questionable. And it's always going to be there. If you look at some more things, it says that every human has sinned and come short. That is always going to be the same. There isn't going to be some kind of change that all of a sudden a human is going to get so good and so righteous that they're not going to need Jesus. That's never going to change. And there is only one way to salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. That is never going to change. As long as we're here worshiping, as long as we're serving God, that is never going to change. It's never going to change that if there's something hid in our heart, there's a secret or a dark place, it will be revealed at the end times. That's never going to change. And another thing about our God that never changes, it says that his love, it endures forever. His faithful love will continue forever. God's love for us will never change. He's constantly calling. He's constantly seeking. He's a God that is trying to adopt us. He's asking us to become his sons and daughters. He's drawing. That's never going to change. God wants each one of us to serve him, and that's never going to change. And it says, God stands on the door and knocks, and if anybody hears his voice, he will open that door. That's never going to change. If you're seeking God, if you're looking for him, if you're needing help, if you're wanting him to come into your heart and you're asking him, open the door and he will come in. That's never going to change. And this morning what I want to, I'm just trying to bring out the fact, and I think I've said it enough of times already, but one of the many reasons to get together and to give our all for the God we serve is that he is a solid rock. And he is an eternal rock. When things of life around us are shaking and changing and there's turmoil, you hear so much lately about churches and people not being able to get along, and there's conflict and there's all these things that shake us up and it's unsettling. We serve a God that's always going to be there. Thank you, Jesus. And this morning I just, yeah, my heart is overjoyed with the thankfulness that our God is unchanging. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and just thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for being our God, for understanding our needs, for knowing what we need even before we ask it. Thank you, God, that you're an eternal solid rock who never changes. Lord, you know we live in a world where there's lots of temptations, there's lots of evil. But I thank you, Father, that you're a God who is always there for us. Thank you, Father, that if we ask of you, that you'll come into our hearts. Father, I just pray that we would not get caught up in the things in this life that sidetracked us from seeing you as the awesome God you are. I pray, Father, that you would give us a clear vision of your glory and of your mightiness and of your power, Father, so that we have the zeal and strength to worship you. And Father, I also pray that when the road gets rough and things get dark, or we're walking through a valley, Lord, that we would be able to remember and be able to know and have in our hearts the fact that you are an unchanging God, a God who continually calls, a God who continually lifts up, and a God who will never quit loving us. Father, I just pray a blessing over the congregation here. I pray a blessing over each one. I pray, Father, that they would be able to feel your love. And Lord, I just ask that when they get to any crossroads in life, that they would turn the direction of you. Father, I thank you so much that they have been able to move forward with a call to leadership and that there was one man chosen. And Father, I just thank you for the blessing that is here to this community. God, and I just ask that you would be with the rest of the service. Pray that you would bless Charles as he shares. Lord, just help him to hear your still small voice and to be able to read your word. Pray, Father, that that word would enter into our hearts and that we would use it to serve you more. Thank you for caring for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In number 639, our God, O God, our help.
O God, our help. Thank you.
Bring greetings to one and all this morning in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. It is a privilege to be here, privilege to gather in a house of worship with fellow believers to share in a special time. I've been reminded of many things. It's been very good to be here and to listen into the remarks of the brethren and take part in the singing of the songs. We've just been well blessed already. The writer of the song of is Martin Luther. Martin Luther wrote that great hymn. He said, the unchangeableness of God, as he has been, he forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. What a privilege to be able to look to a God and know that he doesn't change. He is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. And we think of this time, the many prayers and awaiting here at Careth and the ordaining of another leader. And I just said, you know, God was already there. He knew, and in his good time and way, he revealed. And it's a somewhat of a mark here, we'd say, in time. And what a blessing! What a blessing for a church in so many ways. And I just thought maybe I'd begin by sharing a little bit personally on our journey. In these many years, we can become so accustomed to the work and leadership that we can gloss over it. You know, it's a big change. I had to think of the words of one that said, Lord, give me eyes to see, that lest I, as people will, should walk past someone's Calvary and think it just a hill. It is a great change for Brent and Brittany. And I'm not going to make my message about that, but I just thought I'd share a little bit maybe. We were ordained not very long, and I met a man told me, he said, this is very discouraging. He said, you're going to find that this is a thankless job. You're going to have a lot of people that they'll be quick to find fault or offer correction, but slow to offer encouragement. And it so happened that I met Leonard Martin, our bishop brother, that ordained me in a neighboring town shortly thereafter. And so I shared with him those discouraging words, and he just kind of, well, he said, I would say that it's a rewarding job. And he said that you were going to find that people will come to you and tell you that you shared what they needed for their time. And I found it just to be that very way. It's a job that, my thoughts went, you know, the world won't understand our way of going about this, but we can read in James, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing ye shall receive the greater condemnation. And another version would say, not many of you should aspire to be teachers, for you will be judged with stricter judgment. It is a job, it is a position of responsibility. We're on equal footing. When we built our church, I thought it wouldn't have hurt if this would be the same level, but they like to be able to see the minister, but it is. With that responsibility comes, it's just responsibility. We will be held accountable for how we've used this. And I just wanted to share that God has been so faithful. I've failed many times. He has never failed. He is the rock. The old saying is, sometimes on the rock I tremble, faint of heart and weak of knee. But the steadfast rock of ages never trembles under me. And so that's my testimony for Brent and Brittany, to take courage, and it's been shared one day at a time. For all of us, and I preach today, and we say sometimes myself, first of all, and most of all, I'm going to read a chapter and base some thoughts on that, and that's in Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to read this chapter just to hold out the word of God in a public setting, the reading. We won't be able to get out of it what could be and should be. Chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, or things. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Well, I thought about the service today. I think that I would like to consider worship. You know, that's why we're, you know, it's already been mentioned, we're here to worship. And well, it was A.W. Tozer that said, we struggle to get some things right. We convert a man and we think immediately that we want to make a worker out of him. He said, we need to make a worshiper out of him. And the work will then come. The work will arise out of worship. And if I have it right, I'm told the root of the, I don't know, in our English language maybe. I mean, the thought was given already, and I think it fits. I don't know if it's true or not. The originally, it would have been worth-ship. The worship involves the worth of who we worship. The idea in the Greek was always connected to the master and slave, the relationship, the working, the slave looking up to his master and serving his master. And that's very fitting for our use today. Worship, I'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Read a few verses. 23 through 29. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Shew forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He deserves worship. And I think of that that last phrase there that we read. It is mentioned from time to time. I think it would be fitting if we would insert the word his in front of, in between the word beauty and of. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Anything we have, we find, and it comes through him and by him. Isaiah did remind us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. When we think of the best that we can do compared to his glorious holiness, the gap. I don't want to be discouraging or, but it is, as the songwriter has said, oh, the mighty gap that God did span at Calvary. And so, worship, what does it involve? I'll look into it a little bit. One of the words I like is wonder. There is the wonder of it all. And we can turn to, as in Matthew, and except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We need the childlikeness. Somehow, Christmas Evans is the name of a minister back in the, I know some of you may have heard that name, is from generations ago. Not sure where he served or what the time, but he was a well-known minister, and in his later years and up into his 80s, still extremely able, still in a fruitful ministry. And he was asked, "What is the secret of your ministry?" And he said, "I never lost the wonder of it all." So worshipers, there was a woman that Jesus met there and in John 4, and she was a Samaritan, and there was this exchange, and she tried to understand. She said that we worship here, but you say that Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. And Jesus told her that the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship me. But God is a spirit, and he desires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper shall worship in spirit and in truth. And as we grapple with getting the meaning of that, I think of it as the spirit in spirit is a sincere expression in our hearts. It is where we have opened up our hearts to the cleansing fountain, the cleansing flow of God, and laid it all before him. And somewhere in our service here, we were reminded of all, giving all. God, it is a little bit, as the saying goes sometimes, you know, either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. We as humans, we grapple with that. But it's all, the sincere, the worshiper worshiping in spirit is an entirely yielded vessel with his heart opened wide. All those rooms are given over. And then in truth, it is, we can think of it as the reality, the facts, the way things really are, but we can go deeper, and then that what is truth, thy word is truth. According to the word of God is where we find the unchanging truth in spirit and in truth. So I'd like to think a little bit about it has been said that there are two books standing open before mankind with a message flowing forth. And that is the book of creation and the book of redemption. And I want to look and think a little bit first about the creation. And we find that there in our text there in Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin reading, going across some of that again, starting at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, or we could say of all creation? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It is as though God created the worlds by Jesus Christ. God laid out, he was the master architect and laid out the plan, and Jesus was the builder. What a wonder. As far as we look in any direction, the wonder of the Creator God is manifested from day to day. I'd think of the starry heavens. Well, we'll just turn to Isaiah 40 and read a few verses. And we read in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day, they're uttering a speech. It is just being proclaimed throughout. And that in itself is enough at times to bring people to God. Isaiah 40, we'll begin reading at verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. And for that he is strong in power, not one of them faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What do you think about this host, the stars, innumerable, and yet he calls them out by name. And it is by his power, and we read in our text, by Jesus, they consist. They are, think of the, if you ask, and if you look into our human reasoning, the best that science can say, you know, what keeps the planets in orbit, all the orderly, they don't fail, they can be predicted years and years ahead, and it is the two powers of their the forward motion and gravity. And I asked the question, who put them in motion? Who did the forward motion? And they're so perfectly orchestrated that none of them fail. They stay in their orbit as a testimony to an almighty, all-wise Creator God. It is said that there was no unbelievers in the navigators in the oceans as they sailed in the ships before GPS. If they were unbelievers, the nightly readings, the navigation by the stars brought them down to a saving relationship with the Creator God because of the language that. That creation speaks in that way. Well, we can look and we can go from the largest things to the smallest things. The DNA, the language of life written about the size of the average period. At the end of a sentence, there's enough information to fill 80 or so encyclopedia-sized books. We are told, and that's what science tells us. I was reading it a little bit recently, and it said the language in the human genome, however they want to say that word, is 99.9% the same across the board. It is that small percentage that makes us different in our features and all the color of our eyes and all. It speaks a message of a creator God. It should move us to wonder and worship, should it not? We're here this morning in an attitude of worship. I'm going to think a little bit about then redemption. If we turn back to our text, I'll begin reading at verse 12. Giving thanks to unto the Father, which hath made us meet, made us suitable or fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In this kingdom of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The wonder of redemption, that God, not willing to see us lost in our sins, provided the best that heaven had, you know, he laid aside his kingly robes and crown and took upon him, as we could turn to Philippians and read, took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the, would say, the lowliest, most humiliating means of death that man could devise at that time. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The sinless one, suffering for the sinner, making payment. Isaiah talks about that time. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall be propitiated. It shall be, the payment shall be considered full. The reason he came to fulfill the law in its entirety. He came as that infant, and the words, if think of the one of the martyrs, Mirror, say that he came. Indeed, he was born under the cross. He lived under the cross. He taught. It was the teaching of the cross. At last, he died on the cross. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I think that's the language in Romans 8. Here in Colossians chapter 2, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The wonder of it all. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We've been translated. We've been transferred. We've been changed. Yeah, the men of faith have found glory begun below, a songwriter says. Eternal life is operating in the heart of a Christian. We can turn to 1 John and read, if you don't love, you're a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, or we could say operating in him. Eternal life is beating in our hearts. That's Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, the poem of life. And our hearts, though stout and strong, still, like funeral drums, are beating funeral marches towards the grave. And yet, in that heart, as Solomon in the Ecclesiastes, thou hast set the world in their hearts. God has set eternity in the heart of men. We will die physically, but our spirit will live on. The wonder of redemption, that we have a hope that we can be with Jesus. We will rise in that resurrection day to newness of life. The wonder of it all, that he loved us enough to die for us, to bring us the grace and all the gifts in him that we need to be accepted in that kingdom of his beloved son. So worship, it includes all of life. I'd like to just think a little bit. In our humanness, we tend to divide our worship and our work. It's just on our nature. Sunday is a day of rest and worship. We go to the house of the Lord. We sing. And maybe that day we read extra scripture. And then on Monday morning, we put on our work clothes and go to work. Or we go to the garden or whatever. And our tendency as humans is to think it's two worlds. But no, our worship needs to be all-encompassing, all our life. Our breathing, our conscious time needs to be devoted and dedicated to the worship of our God. Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus, the name of Jesus. I like to think of that as the person and the work of Jesus. He has laid his hands on all us who have called out to him in faith. And we can never be the same. We sing the song, "Just as I am," without one plea. Just as I am. Yes, we come with just as we are. And we leave to never again be just as we were. Because when Jesus lays his hand on us and changes our hearts, we want to serve him in whatever way. It may be the most menial cleaning of the restrooms of wherever. But it needs to be done in whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name. That is the person and the work. He's personally laid his hands on us. Colossians 3:23. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." And so we need to do something honorable, something that is beneficial to mankind. And we need to work. Ephesians 4 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need." We're not here to amass for ourselves. It happens too much among us Mennonites, and me included. It's just good stewardship and good work ethics oftentimes result in money and the things that money can buy. Let's not forget that if riches increase, the wise men said in the Psalms, if riches increase, set not thy heart on them. Set our hearts on things above, not on things on the earth. All these things will perish. They will be burnt with fire. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. These things that we have can be used for good purposes. Wise man is aware of this. The foolish man says, "I have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But was his heart ready to meet his maker? Worship includes all of life. To be builders in the kingdom, wherever God places you. I'd like to read the rest of I'd like to look at some of the rest of our text here. Verse 11 says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It's a beautiful picture for the child of God to be strengthened with, literally strengthened with God's mighty power. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened in the inner man. The psalmist says, when I cried unto thee, and thou strengthened me with strength in my soul. There's power available. The word dunamis is in our scriptures. I'm thinking that I don't have it written down here, but strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. I'm guessing that one of those, the might or the power, could be traced back to the Greek word dunamis. That's an otherworldly power. It's God's power. glorious power. Yes. Unto all patience. So that's a picture of enduring, endurance unto the end. Long-suffering that we could say forbearance or making allowance for fellow men. As I think about the picture of the church here, and I thought about this verse 17, it says that Jesus Christ was before all things, and by him all things consist. That's held together. That's existing in harmony. And where there are churches that are consisting, are continuing, and existing in harmony, that's a work of God. That's a testimony to something is going on that God is doing, that people are seeking God, praying and serving Him, working together, they're strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Because the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And as the thief's work is evident enough around us, we don't need to go into that. But let's not forget the joyfulness. Peter 1, looking unto Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is enough that he is ours and we are his, is it not? Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, the outcome of our faith. Philippians, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. That's joying and rejoicing. We joy and we bring it around again. And he says, and again, and we could say, he's saying, can I say it again? Rejoice. The Lord is securely on his throne. All things are continuing by his word. He's faithful one. He's supplying all our needs. Wonderful, wonderful words. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4. One has paraphrased a little bit on that. Verse 19, but my God, what a source, God, shall supply all your need. What a supply, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a channel, Jesus Christ. And so, going back to our text there, Colossians chapter 1. For it pleased the Father, in verse 19, that in him should all fullness dwell. This is a picture of Jesus, the risen Lord. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Ephesians 1, and it talks about the church, the full measure of him that filleth all in all. The church is the picture, the living word, the example, the in shoe leather, what the world has today of Jesus. Ephesians 4 talks about him, he that descended, well, verse 9, now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He descended to the grave. He was miraculously, by the power of God, brought back to life and rose and ascended to heaven at the right hand of God, up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that's a picture of him. The entire universe is filled with his presence, from the smallest to the greatest. Everywhere we look, all power is given to Jesus, and he has filled all things. He has filled all things. We live and move by his, in him we live and move and have our being, as is in Acts. So his testimony is everywhere. It's what I wanted to bring out today is worship, but then our service is it comes as an outcome of our worship. And let's not forget the wonder of it all. Back to our text. For it pleased the Father in him that should all fullness dwell. Everything is bearing the fullness and the testimony of Jesus. And having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things to himself, I say, whether they be things in heaven or on earth or in heaven, and we who were sometimes, and we all at one time were alienated, he has been reconciled if we respond in faith to the call that the Father, through the Son, the Spirit, which proceeds from the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, is working in hearts and lives today. And we have hope if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So hope is a wonderful thing. It's not the forlorn hope of a child of an unfaithful parent that asks for candy when they come home from town and they don't know whether they will or not. It's the hope of a child has a faithful father and asks for candy, and the father says, I'll bring you some. And we have confidence. We have comfort. We have expectation because of who has spoken. And the Hebrew writer talks about the hope what we have, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil, whither the forerunner hath for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the faithful one. We have a confident expectation because of the character of the faithful one, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind. You know, he's just saying that he has a debt to pay. He's coming on. He's trying to fulfill his place. Suffering for Christ in his flesh, for his body, the church's sake, which he was made a minister. And this mystery, this hidden truth, we're on the side where it's revealed, and we can clearly see that mystery, the great riches of the glory of this Christ, which suffered for us. for us as Gentiles, and he is now in us, in you, the hope of glory, the confident expectation of glory that awaits the child of God. So the songwriter says, "The streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above." The fellowship here with our Lord can be so inexpressibly sweet. Oh, what shall it be when his face I see, when round the great throne we meet? You know, we have a taste of it here. We have a taste of the glory, but there's so much more to come, I believe. I believe that's my message today. And so his prayer is to present every man perfect in Christ, complete, not lacking, mature. And so I think of the setting today. We have a unique setting. We meet from time to time, and it's said we meet as never met. We've never met before, and this is just a little more that way. From here on, there'll be. This is uncharted territory, but praise the Lord. As I said, God was there. He will be there. That's all our prayer, no matter whether we're from Indiana or Michigan or wherever, that we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And we're putting ourselves into that, laboring, striving mightily according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. We follow Paul in that. I'm going to close with just a thought. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. This is a great verse. Verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so what I want to just leave as a thought is that he has appointed heir of all things. I just love the picture of Abraham sending his servant to secure a bride for Isaac. And he put in a, we could turn to Genesis, and it says, "For all the goods of his master were in his hand." All the wealth, all the riches, we can turn there and read of all the lavish, how lavishly they bestowed gifts on this Rachel. I have that name right. Anyway, but Jesus was given all power, and and we think of the, and we could turn to Ephesians 4 and read how he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the church, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we have one called now into the work of the ministry, and we're all, can I say, we all have gifts, that we have talents. And we all need to be thinking, be praying. In ministry, I think, need to be encouraging that the gifts. Jesus was made, was the heir of all things. Jesus gave gifts unto men. He gave the talents. He gave some pastors, some teachers, some, again, prophets, evangelists, teachers. The 1 Corinthians 12 talks about him giving to every man severally as he will, giving to each individually. We all have a gift. We all have a talent. Let's not bury it, but be attentive and thinking and ready when opportunity comes to use our gifts in the help of the ministry, to help alongside in some way. I think that's my thought. It's the We're all in it together. We all need each other. We need each other's prayers, support, and helping where we can, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the, as Ephesians talks about, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll all come to that time. I think that's all I have. I trust that we can be going forward as the full measure of Him that filleth all in all. The picture of the Christ of the many-membered, as a many-membered body, with Jesus the head and all the members connected, filling their place. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, this opportunity, coming together, the privilege we have to freely gather. Lord, we thank you and praise you for Jesus, the light of the world, the author of our salvation, the sin bearer, the forgiver, the grace giver, the one who has experienced every human pain, it was all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Who has been faithful to that you have appointed him to, and that he has secured our salvation. The wonder of it all, help us to never escape us. That it would move us in a sense that we are constrained by that love. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not from henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Lord, help us to fill our place, however lowly it might be. Thank you for the grace that enables and pardons, and for the forgiveness, for the blood, that one day we will be spared the judgment of wrath upon a sinful mankind because of the blood. And Lord, help us never to forget. And that, again, God bless each one in this new stepping forward from one era, you might say, to another. Lord, thank you for the freedoms, and pray for ruling powers, bless and guide to your purpose among the nations. We pray for peace among the nations. We pray for this settled freedom that we have here to continue according to your will. And we just pray that you would guide rulers into good decisions, and that they would find salvation. And that for each of us now, as the younger ones, watch over the heritage you have given, guide them in their steps, help them to seek thee daily, early, for parents, teachers, grandparents, ministers, all, we pray, a portion of your Holy Spirit to guide and to bring about your purpose in the church. For Brian and Brittany and family, we pray, and this day, as it moves on, Lord, we commit it to you. Pray that when done with us, to be gathered with the redeemed, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hymn number 482, The Solid Rock. Let's stand to sing this song.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Greetings to each one in Jesus' name. I want to welcome each one here this morning, the home congregation, those that have traveled a lot of miles to be here. We appreciate your presence, your interest in the Lord's work, your interest in our local congregation here is meaningful to each of us, and we want to say thank you. What a wonderful time we've had this morning sharing together. You know, I'm sure we've all come here this morning with things on our mind, feelings. And it was just, to me, it was powerful to have the Word of God breathed upon us as a benediction, as a blessing, as a guide, and as an encouragement. You know, Brother Dalton mentioned the thought of not leaning on our own understanding, but just being aware of the reality that the Lord is in control. And then as we moved on into the devotions, just simply the beauty of worshiping a God with no variableness.
Even if our world is shaken, God is not. And it was just encouraging to me as we moved on into the message, that thought just kind of carried on. God deserving our worship, the wonder of salvation, the wonder of redemption, just the reality of creation, quietly speaking, a compelling message that there is a creator. You know, I don't know of any better way for a heavy heart to find peace and comfort outside of just the realities from the Holy Scriptures that were shared. We're all stewards here, and whatever service we might be called to is the outcome of worship. And that was a message for me. So thank you, Dalton, Brian, Charles, for sharing with us, bringing the Word of God, being here in presence, being here as an encouragement to us. We thank you for that, and may God bless you. Just have a few announcements here today. Just a reminder of the building fund collection is today again. Looking ahead to the order of service next week, Lord willing, we'll look to Derek for the call to worship. That'll be Marcus's turn for the message. The devotional, we don't for sure have that scheduled yet, but we will be communicating that as we get that spot filled. Singing for the youth next week, I believe it's Nelson's turn to host that. And the reminder again of this ordination service here this evening, starting at 7 p.m. So may we try to be here in a timely manner, just so that we can get started by 7 o'clock. Also, there's a fellowship meal here after the service. Everyone is welcome to that. I think that's all I have for announcements. I think I'm going to remember the noon meal and our closing prayer. That way, as we get set up, we can move right on into the meal. So why don't we bow our heads for a closing prayer? Almighty Father in heaven, we just come to you here at the close of the service with grateful hearts, thankful hearts, realizing that you, as an almighty creator, the one that has given us life, the one that knows our every thought, the one that knows our every issue of life, you are here, you are with us, and you have an interest, a keen interest, in our well-being and our welfare. And we just, again, as we've been reminded today, want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the redemption. Thank you that you are sitting in risen power at the right hand of the Father, pleading and interceding for each one of your children. And so, Father, come what may in life, we can rest in peace, knowing who we serve and what position you are in and where we're serving you from. So, Father, just bless each one that's here. May their heart feel your peace. May their heart feel your love. And may your strength guide and direct as we go from this place. We thank you for this food that was prepared. We pray that you bless it to its intended use. We acknowledge you as our provider. And we just say thank you. Bless those that have prepared it, the love and the effort that was put into the preparation. As we share together, may it just be a reminder of another way of serving one another. Just bless our time together of fellowship as we share together, and as we again go our respective ways, may your spirit and your presence go with each one. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and ever. Amen. Why don't we stand and sing song 78.